This is the Bears Barroom Radio Network, and we're brought to you by the Verdoliak Law Group, fighting insurance companies since 1963, and BetChicago.com, your source for all of Chicago's sports and betting news. The following program is suitable for all ages.
Buffone. A certain magic will always linger with the very name. It speaks of courage and fervor in the world's most brutal game. 55, worn by Doug Buffone, a Chicago Bear through and through. He demanded excellence of himself and anyone wearing navy blue.
You tell me what's going on. This is moronic. We're going to get our ass whipped all the way down the line. I want somebody to get kicked in the ass and get out there and play. You're getting paid to play this game. I'm playing right. I don't mind you getting beat. I got my ass whipped many times. But I tell you, I took somebody down with me. You are a professional team. Act like one, for God's sakes.
Football fans, this is Buffone 55. The John Buffone Show.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Buffone 55, the fastest-paced Chicago Bears football podcast available. I am your host, John Buffone Barflies. How about that beatdown on the Bills last week? It's nice to win games you're supposed to win, huh? It's a new concept in Chicago. I dig it. With me, as always, is my sidekick and show producer, Bears girl, BG. You were at that game in Buffalo. Heard you might have ended up losing your voice. How are you feeling?
I am feeling good, and I wish you were there, John, because it was an absolute treat to be in Buffalo, watching them win that game and being able to get down to the field because all of the Buffalo fans left in the third quarter.
Before security took you away, huh?
Yeah, pretty much.
Before he got kicked out of the stadium. But hey, that's the commitment we expect here at the Barroom. We got a great guest tonight. Joining us tonight is no stranger to our listeners. He's a great friend of the Barroom. His name is Jeff Risden. And among his many talents, he focuses on the NFL draft for Real GM. He's also the managing editor for the Browns Wire and the Lions Wire, sometimes appearing on ESPN 96.1. Jeff, welcome to Buffone 55. How you doing?
It is my pleasure to be with you and talk some Lions and some Bears. We get a rivalry game this weekend. It's going to be fun.
Yeah, the Bears finally get a division game. We're looking forward to it. I want to see how you think this divisional matchup is going to break down. I want to start with the impressive back-to-back wins that the Lions had, the home win against the Packers, the road win against Miami, and then they dropped two in a row. Russell Wilson goes to Ford Field. He throws three touchdown passes. Then last week, the Lions are sacked in Minnesota, figuratively and literally. Matt Stafford went down 10 times. Is this kind of emblematic of the Lions? Are they just basically an up-and-down 500-type team?
You know, I think that's probably a fairly accurate assessment. The big thing is you really never know what you're going to get. This team blew out the Patriots on national television. They had their way with the Packers. And then they've lost to the Jets. They're the, until last week, the only team that had lost to the San Francisco 49ers. So there's no real rhyme or reason for it. They tend to not play to the level of competition. It's sort of the opposite of that. They play really well against good teams and seem to slough off against bad teams. Then again, the Vikings are a pretty good team, and they absolutely destroyed the Lions. There was nothing positive from that game at all. And I rarely say that about a Lions team, and I've been covering this team a long time, and I've seen some bad games. That one was right up there with one of the worst butt kickings I've ever seen this Lions franchise take.
Well, I mean, a lot of that, you know, people start looking at the sidelines. They start looking at the coaching staff. Bears fans have heard some stories about head coach Matt Patricia, including that he might be housing a family of four in that beard, but we can get to that later. But just recently, he scolded a reporter for not having good posture when asking a question at a news conference. And then there's that awkward firing of the special teams coach, Joe Marciano. What's your perception of the Lions head coach? Does he have the leadership traits to be successful, or has it just been a bunch of posturing so far this year?
I think there's definitely some posturing going on. He's a rookie coach, and it shows. And I think that's the fairest way to describe what's going on with Matt Patricia. He comes from the Bill Belichick coaching tree. Remember, he was the defensive coordinator for the Patriots for years and years. And he picked up a lot of Bill Belichick's attitudes towards the media. That it's probably more of an adversary than we are an ally. which seems to be a popular notion these days in a lot of different realms.
Right.
I think he tends to. I think because I've encountered him away from the field and away from a professional situation, and I know several people who've done this. He's a great guy outside of Allen Park, Michigan, where the Lions headquarters are. He's a very likable, you know, down to earth, fun guy. But when he's up in front of the room, he feels the need to, I don't know, I don't want to say bully because that's not the right word, but definitely assert his authority that he is literally on a pedestal above you. And it's very tangible when you're there. And I don't think that's something that I think you need to earn. And I don't think he's earned that. And I think the more that the team struggles the way it has the last couple of weeks, I think the more that is getting a little bit old. He always talks about being better from September to October and October to November. Well, now it's November, and we also are looking for him to do the improvement along with the players and the system. And it's getting a little contentious. The whole posture thing was with a reporter. He's had a lot of issues. They've actually had a lot of issues with one another. I won't exonerate the reporter who he got after either, because he's asked some weird questions that probably shouldn't be asked in a professional setting. Nothing like screwy or anything. It's just conversation enders. And I think that there was a two-way street going on there. That was Patricia's making a point. He needs to start getting some wins if he wants to keep doing this, is the bottom line. And that's basically where we're at with it.
It's interesting how that Belichick tree really hasn't sprouted a whole lot of success, how it kind of just it stays at the trunk of the tree and does not branch very much. We'll see how the Patricia experiment works out in Detroit. Now, over the last few years, the Lions rushing game has been ranked either at the bottom of the NFL stat line or very close to it. There's finally some positive movement there. Maybe they found something special in rookie Kerryon Johnson. Give us an assessment of the team's running game. And by the way, Amir Abdullah, who the Lions did have high hopes for, was just recently released. Was this simply a rosters numbers move here?
Some of it was. Some of it was the fact he fumbled away a kickoff in Seattle, and that directly led to them losing the game. He has not been the same guy, Amir. And he's now with the Minnesota Vikings. He was claimed by the Vikings today. He has not had the burst. So he hurt his foot at the end of the 2016 season, and he has not been the same guy since then. And I think that played a big role in it as well. He doesn't play special teams. If you're a third or fourth string running back, you need to play special teams. He couldn't be a return man, obviously, because he fumbled. So that was sort of the end for him. Kerryon Johnson's been fantastic. He is capable of making big runs. He has a 71-yard run this year. He's capable of turning a 2-yard run into a 10-yard run. And I think that's something that has been lacking for a long time in Detroit. You have to also acknowledge Frank Ragnow, the rookie first-round pick, the left guard, was not a hugely popular pick at the time. He has been great. He is one of the best run blockers in the NFL already. And Pro Football Focus also agrees with that. It's not just me subjectively thinking that. He's really, really good. He dominates when he's on. He is a guy who can go out and pluck the linebacker at the second level after helping with little chip on the line. He's really, really good at that. He's pretty good in pass protection, too. Better as a run blocker, though, and I think that's been a big help. Rick Wagner at right tackle has been a much better run blocker this year in his second year in the system than he was a year ago. The Lions have put a tremendous amount of resources into fixing the offensive line and making it better. That is definitely paying dividends. Not having Eric Ebron has paid some dividends because he's not all that interested in blocking. Kenny Golladay has become a much better blocker as a wide receiver. I think that needs to get mentioned too. There's a whole host of things. They really have spent a lot of time and energy at becoming a better running team, and it is working. It hasn't worked the last couple of weeks, but some of that was, you know, scoreboard and game situation. Some of it was the fact that the Vikings defensive line, my goodness, they were just monsters. That was a rough one. But, yeah, it's been much better. I haven't looked exactly what the current ranking is. They were 18th in yards and 16th in yards per carry going into last weekend. That's pretty impressive for a team that has not been above the 30s in either category since 2014.
baby steps. No.
That's right. You got to start somewhere.
Exactly. Now, a big storyline out of Detroit was Golden Tate being traded just before the trade deadline. Bears fans are happy to see him leave the division. Who do you see really stepping up in the receiving core to kind of fill that void for Tate being gone?
That's a good question. We're all wondering that, too. Kenny Golladay has proven that he is the number one receiver on the team. And I think that has softened the blow a little bit. But nobody can do what Golden Tate did. A guy who can line up in the slot, he is the best in the league at yards after catch. I know the stats don't necessarily show that this year. That doesn't matter. He's a wizard at that. They don't have that guy now who can move around the formation, who can line up in the slot, who can, you know, flex to the outside if you need him, and work that 15 to 25 yards down the field. He's one of the very best in the league at that. T.J. Jones has some potential to do it, and I think Theo Riddick out of the backfield is probably going to get more looks, more touches. One of the big problems is that this team does not have a receiving tight end. I just complained about Eric Ebron. Eric Ebron has more catches in the last 2 weeks than Lions tight ends do all season. It's a black hole right now. Michael Roberts is a big red zone guy. That's about all he does. Luke Wilson has been a serious disappointment as a free agent signing out of Seattle. It's just not happening there. So it's a hole. It seems like they're trying to fill it more with the run game and with taking more shots at Golladay and Marvin Jones on the other side. Those two are both really good. And Matthew Stafford has a good connection with both of them, and they can really make some hay. But without Tate, that middle of the field and that guy who can catch a pass on 3rd and 9, a 5-yard pass, and turn it into a first down, they don't have that guy anymore, and that's going to be an issue.
Before we flip over to the defensive side of the ball, I want to throw it over to Bears Girl. Bears Girl, we got any activity going on in the chat room? Any questions for Jeff?
We do. We've got one from Shane, the smartest man, Marisaw. He wants to know, Jeff, if you heard the Mike Lombardi comments about Trubisky, and do you agree or disagree with them?
I caught what he was. I didn't look at it always, but I got the gist of it. I think that was a lot. There was a lot of personal issues going on there that I'm not sure Mitch deserves. You know, it seemed like, didn't it seem a little like petty to everybody? I mean, I think he made some valid criticisms of Trubisky's game, but I think he went well beyond that. And that's not something that Lombardi, I shouldn't say that because I followed him in Cleveland and he was petty there too. I think it was over the top is the best way I would say it.
I just want to know who in Chicago hurt Lombardi. I want to know who did it, because he's holding a grudge and he's holding out against Mitchell Trubisky, and he doesn't deserve that. As Tariq Cohen says, stay off him. He doesn't deserve that.
Yeah, and I was glad to see Tariq Cohen go and have his quarterbacks back. That's what you want out of your team. You know, the young guys coming together like that. If they can spin that into a good thing, more power to them.
Yeah, maybe a rallying point. Now, I do want to flip over to the defensive side of the ball for the Lions. That defense is allowing 7 more points per game than the Bears. After 8 games, who is disappointed on the defensive side of the ball that you thought might be having a better season so far? And then on the flip side of that, who's actually impressed you on the defensive side of the ball?
Well, I'll tell you my biggest disappointment, and you'll guys will laugh, this is Christian Jones. He's been awful. maybe we should have expected that coming from the way he did from the Bears and how he wasn't necessarily missed, but at least that was my take on Bears fans on Christian Jones. I liked him coming out of Florida State. I thought that the Bears misused him. That probably has softened on that stance because he doesn't know what he's doing. That's been very frustrating because he's a guy that in theory, he is a great fit for the Lions defense. In practice, not so much. He's been disappointing. Glover Quinn, I hate to say this about him because he's one of my very favorite players in the league over the last decade and been one of the best safeties in the league. He has lost at least a step, and it's showing. He seriously considered retiring before this season, and I don't think we in the Detroit media took him seriously enough he was thinking about it. I'd be shocked if he comes back next year. And quite honestly, the way he's played, I'd be shocked if the Lions had him back. So that's been a disappointment. You know, he's still trying, and he still is capable of doing some things, but just he's not the guy that he was even last year or 2 years ago when he was leading the league in interceptions. So he's been disappointing. Positives. Deshaun Hand, the rookie. He is the 3rd-round pick from 2019. They traded that in the 4th round to pick him this year. He has gotten better every single week. He is the only guy on the front line who gets any sort of a pass rush whatsoever in the 3-man front. He's really good at slamming into the blocker, separating, and then going and finding the ball and making a play. He is a keeper. He is a guy who is going to be a problem for opposing offensive lines for a long time. And it's pretty interesting because it was not a popular decision when they traded to take him. And he has been probably the and I talked about Regnow and Johnson being very, very well received and being good. I think Hand has probably been the most impressive rookie overall. So he's been very pleasant surprise. Very happy with that.
Some bright spots for the future for that Detroit defense. Now, I want to talk to you real quick about Snacks Harrison. The Lions traded a fifth rounder for him. Seems like a good deal then. But then Lions Twitter just wasn't happy enough with getting Harrison. They started taking cheap shots at the Bears for giving up two number ones for Khalil Mack, which, you know, Mack and Snacks are kind of two different players. Is this justifiable by any angle, given the fact that I don't know if Lions Twitter has a lot of ammunition to start taking cheap shots at anybody?
That's probably fair. I'll say this, the price that they paid for Harrison relative to what the price is for Mack, I think does give the Lions fans some reason to toot their horn. And that is no slight at Khalil Mack, but I think Snacks Harrison is the best in the league at what he does. And what he does was the single biggest need on the Detroit defense. And that was somebody who could play between the tackles and try to even stop the run. And he's been fantastic. He's not Khalil Mack. He's not a pass rusher. And Mack, I wouldn't even begin to argue that Mack has a bigger impact on the game than Harrison. But it's a move that the Lions absolutely had to make. They pulled off highway robbery in getting it from the Giants, and it's a steal, and it's going to be a steal for a long time because he's going to be there two more years. I love Khalil Mack. I would have given the two first rounders myself for him, and paid him. That was one thing that I don't think the Lions fans factor in all that well, is that the economics of it, I think work out pretty well for the Bears in the equation. Now he's been hurt. I understand he was back at practice today, and that's a good thing, because I like watching the guy play. I'm a fan. I'm a Mack guy. I actually went to Kent State and their Ode to Concrete, and watched Buffalo and Kent State play with about 50 other people in the freezing cold a couple of Novembers ago, and I've been a fan ever since then. He's a great player. So I get where you guys are at with that, too. I really do think that Snacks Harrison, though, is a great fit for the Lions. And the price to give him up relative to what the price the Bears gave up to Chicago to Oakland, I'm pretty happy with that, honestly.
Oh, and I think Detroit fans should be. They should have been very happy with it. I think that's maybe where it should have stayed there instead of starting leaking it over to the other division, because when the final standings come out, that might not make a difference.
Yeah, and my thought on that is, you know, we're 3-5. Y'all are 5-3. We haven't played yet, but
right.
I'm not someone who likes to talk from the bottom. If I'm at the top, I might talk a little bit.
Sure.
If I'm below you, I'm not doing that. That's just me. But that whole Detroit versus everybody thing is pervasive in certain segments of it. And as caveat, I'm not a native Detroiter. I live in Holland. I'm actually closer earshot to Chicago radio than I am to Detroit. I'm a native Clevelander. So the Lions have been my team since Billy Sims wore number 20. But I've never really gotten that whole inferiority or chip on the shoulder complex like that. That's not me. That is a certain segment of the Lions fan base. And I get why they're like that. And there's a lot of times where I enjoy it very much. That when you're 3-5 and you're talking up to a 5-3 team, that's not for me.
Twitter's just a cesspool we're all trying to wade through. But
before well said.
Before we start getting into predictions and some final questions, Bears Girl, I want to throw it back to you real quick. Did I really see a Kevin White question in the chat room?
You did.
Oh my God!
We've got Steve Zimmerman, and he wants to know, he could see Detroit as a possible landing spot for Kevin White next season. Agree or disagree?
You know, I think they'd look at him. They're going to need a number four wide receiver. That's probably his career ceiling at this point, I would guess. I think Bears fans would probably be pretty happy if he was a reliable number four right now.
Please.
He's going to get – I'll tell you what, though. I think the more logical landing spot is the other team that I cover, the Cleveland Browns, because they have just signed Breshad Perriman, And with all the injuries that they have, he might be the number two wide receiver there. So there's – or number he's number three now that Rashard Higgins is back. I think the Browns will look at him. I'll tell you another place. I think the Baltimore Ravens will look at him more than the Lions will. The Lions tend to – they're going to look for homegrown wide receivers, I think. I think they'll with Jones and Galladay, I think they're pretty happy. T.J. Jones will be back. He's a solid – not a great number three, but a solid number three. I think they'll look to groom their own rather than bringing somebody in from the outside who has as many questions and problems as Kevin White has had.
Sounds like the Browns are just going to try to collect all of the former first-round wide receivers that didn't pan out, which would be a college all-star team. That doesn't really work in the NFL.
They got a whole lot of that. I mean, Greg Robinson is their new starting left tackle, too. So they're when you're as bad as they've been, and they're not that bad, by the way. They're a much better team than they used to be, and they have a very bright future. But all the injuries that they've had right now is pretty tough on them, so they got to take what they can get.
First round means good, no matter what. That's just good luck. So I want to start talking about the matchup here. If the Lions are going to win this game and upset the Bears, what must happen or what must the Bears screw up for the Lions to be successful in this game?
Oh geez, there are some key there are ways that the Lions can win this game, and I'm worried for Bears Nation that y'all are a little overconfident. You're justifiably favored in this game, and you should expect to win. You should not expect to blow the Lions out. As bad as they have looked the last couple of weeks, remember this is a team they kicked New England's butt on national TV, and that team is still here. They are there somewhere. You probably don't want to awaken that and get that roar going. They have to force turnovers on defense. That's been a big key. They've been struggling at that, whether it be somebody creating a fumble, a strip sack, something like that, a Glover Quinn interception, a Darius Slay interception. Those are big sparks for this team. They need to play better special teams. They fired Joe Marciano for a reason. Their coverage units have been awful. They've been terrible. I actually wrote a piece this week for Lions Wire where I advised them to just kick the ball out of bounds and punt the ball out of bounds. And they have a very good kicker and a very good punter. They could do it. It's been rough, man. That's bad. Matthew Stafford has to be the Matthew Stafford that other teams fear and not the guy who's pitching the ball into Kerryon Johnson's back on an ill-advised scramble. Stafford's had a weird year. He started out, he threw four interceptions in the opening week and the blowout loss to the Jets on national television. He came back, didn't play really well in the first half of San Francisco, and then from like the halftime of the San Francisco game until about the middle of the Seattle game, he was arguably the best quarterback in the league. I won't say he was better than Mahomes or better than Goff. He was right there with those guys, and then it fell off again, and there's no real rhyme or reason for it. They need a solid game for Matthew Stafford where he is making the correct decisions, where he's, hitting guys when and where they need it.
And upright.
Yes, that would be good too. Yes, protecting him. I think the offensive line issues last week were a complete aberration. I don't expect that again. And I know the Bears have a good pass rush, and that's no disrespect meant to the Bears and the talent that they have. The Lions have a talented offensive line, too. They did not play to it. Their offensive coordinator, Jim Bob Cooter, is on serious thin ice. I think he realizes that, and I think he's going to come up with a better game plan where they're not taking a seven-step drop, where they're not snapping the ball with exactly 4 seconds left on the play clock every single play. There's going to be a lot different things that come out of that, and I hope that works out. They need to get some offensive balance. Kerryon Johnson just hasn't had the carries the last few weeks because they've been behind in game situation. They have to – starting quickly would be a good thing to do. They finally did score the first touchdown on the first drive of the game. They've only done that, I think, three times in the last 2 years. You can't fall behind these Bears because that offense is explosive, and if you're behind and you got a pass, that pass rush can tee off. So there are ways that the Lions can win this game, but they're going to have to do a lot better than they have the last couple weeks.
All right, now final question. We don't have too many analysts pick against the team that they're covering. It's only happened twice, once with the Bills, and that came to fruition. The other time it was Miami that picked the Bears to win, and we all know what happened there. So, Jeff, if you got to give me a prediction on a score this final for this game, what do you think? How's it going to play out?
I think the Bears are going to outscore the Lions, and I think that's going to be the best way to describe this game. I think there's going to be a lot of points in it. I think both defenses have certain levels of playmakers, but I think that the offenses are the strengths. And yes, I do say that with a straight face about Chicago. I really like the offense. I happen to like Mitchell Trubisky. I liked him coming out of North Carolina more than most draft analysts did. So I think it's going to be something 31-20, 31-24, 33-26, something like that. I got the Bears probably winning by a touchdown, maybe a little bit more than that.
I appreciate you giving us the kiss of death there. Before we get you out of here, Jeff, tell people how they can see your stuff, read your stuff, listen to your stuff, and to connect with you on social media.
Yeah, absolutely. First off, the easiest way to get a hold of me is on Twitter. I'm at Jeff Risdon. That's R-I-S-D-O-N. You can find me at Lions Wire, at Browns Wire, and at Real GM. I have a lot of fun doing a picks column every week on Real GM. It's not just a straight picks column. I throw all sorts of different weird things into it, try to make it fun and not just a standard thing. If you're ever in West Michigan, if you make the trip over to South Haven and are one of the people who we only have Illinois license plates over in this side of the town, this side of Michigan in the summer. If you're back over here, tune in. I'm on ESPN 96.1 every Sunday morning from 10 to 12 and filling in during the week quite a bit as well. So, and I appreciate that. Thank you.
Awesome, Jeff. Well, thank you so much for being on. Should be a good game. We hope to talk to you down the road sometime.
Yeah, let's hope it's a competitive, fun game. Thanks, guys.
All right, take care.
Wow.
You know what that music means. It's halftime, Bears girl. Tell them what that means.
Let's remind our listeners how this part of the show works. I'm going to ask you five Chicago Bears-related questions, and you're going to have all but 55 seconds to respond. Why did you pick 55? Because that's a tribute to your uncle, Doug Buffon, who wore number 55 during his 15 seasons playing with our Chicago Bears. At the end of the 55 seconds, you're going to hear a whistle, at which time you can start to wrap up your response. John, are you ready?
I'm ready. Let's do this, BG.
All right, question number one. We've got half a season of watching Matt Nagy coach the Bears, and I want to know what you've liked so far and what you've not liked about this rookie coach. You've got 55 seconds and go.
I like the innovation. I like the fact that the Bears have a coach that can draw up a game plan and get the most out of his players. I like the fact that the Bears, if they're down by more than 6 points, I feel like they can actually come back. Bears fans tend to forget how miserable last year was. That unless the Bears led from start to finish or kept it within one score, they were basically out of the game. There was no hope. There's the fact that that offense was hard to watch. Kendall Wright, Josh Bellamy, Dontrell Inman, Deontay Thompson, these names still give me night terrors. I like the fact that the offense actually matters. What I don't like is sometimes I see a coach that wants to be the smartest man on the field, running misdirection, smoke and mirror plays to get a yard. Sometimes there's some questionable time management, some inconsistency on being bold and being conservative. I like going for it on fourth and short. I don't like playing for a long field goal late in games and parking the bus on offense. But I think a lot of this is going to correct itself as Nagy gets more coaching experience. Let's not forget, this guy's in his first coaching gig. I'm not going to be too hard on him. So I think that I like a lot more than what I don't like.
I like the fact that you like him more than you don't like, because that means Aldo is not going to write a song for you about Matt Nagy.
Let's move on
to question number two. Tall order here. In 55 seconds, I want you to give me your biggest disappointment of the first half of the season and the one thing that has made you most pleased. Go.
Oh, man, it's dropping two games that the Bears absolutely should have won. Week one against the Packers, up 21 points, and they lose. The game against Miami was a joke. They should have beaten that team. The Bears win those games. We aren't talking about a half-game lead on the Vikings. The Bears would be 7-1, and the Packers would be 2-5-1. I know you aren't supposed to look back on your schedule, but that would have shook the landscape so much. The Vikings would be chasing the Bears. In a league that's so competitive, in a division that's so competitive, every single game is so important. And if the Bears lose the division by a game, or God forbid, miss the playoffs by a game, we're going to look back in January saying, damn, if we just would have beaten the Dolphins, or if we just would have finished off Green Bay. What I am pleased about, though, the exact same thing. The fact that I'm looking back on these games and I'm legitimately looking over the Bears playoff prospect, that's something Bears fans haven't been able to do for the better part of, what, 6 years? So I'm pleased that the Chicago Bears football actually matters now. Hell, they just got flexed into a primetime game. Are you kidding me? The Chicago Bears are getting flexed into a Sunday night game because their games matter. That's fantastic.
All right, John, let's move on to question number three, and I want that passion because it looks like your pep talk to Jordan Howard last week had some effect. He had 2 touchdowns. In fact, he now has 4 touchdowns. total touchdowns in the last three Bears games and appears to have possibly found his groove. But in these three games, he's only averaging 15 carries a game. Is this the new addition of Jordan Howard that we're seeing now, the Nagy addition? Fewer carries but more touchdowns? You're now on the clock.
Yeah, probably, and I think that's fine. His stats are going to go down when the offense consists of something different than run, run, pass. I'm going to compare Howard's role loosely to LeGarrette Blount. Now, I said loosely, so hear me out. Blount isn't nearly as talented as Howard is, but Blount has been in the league for 9 years. He's only rushed for 1,000 yards twice, and he's only had 200 rushes in a season just twice. Yet he has 54 touchdowns. Maybe you don't mind having your battering ram running back stay off the field when he doesn't need to be there. Maybe having your 230-pound back have fresh legs in the second half is a good thing. Yeah, it probably drives fantasy owners crazy because Tariq Cohen gets him down the field and then Howard will vulture a touchdown, but who cares about fantasy at this point? If LeGarrette Blount had to carry the ball 250 to 300 times a year, I don't think he'd be playing in his ninth NFL season right now. Self-preservation is the name of the game. Howard has been getting his ass kicked for the last 2 years, pulling himself off the field and crawling off. I'd feel pretty good if I didn't have to leave the game every time feeling like I just got jumped in a back alley. Trust me, there's going to be games where he's the focal point, but don't look for Nagy just to force that narrative.
Question number four, I want you to evaluate our first round pick. Roquan Smith has been getting lots of love by many in the barroom, but Debbie Downer Aldo is still not satisfied. He said that Smith is getting picked apart in the pass game, and in fact, Pro Football Focus detected that in the Bills game, there were 10 passes thrown his way, and he allowed all 10 to be caught for 100 yards. 75 of those yards were picked up after the catch. What's your evaluation of Smith? Your 55 seconds starts now.
Well, I think he's going through some growing pains just like any rookie would. We talked about Tremaine Edmonds last week, and the guys over at the Rock Power Report said that while Edmonds has a freakish physical ability, he needed to get up to speed with coverages and learn the NFL game. I know we expected that not to happen with Roquan Smith, but it is. Vic Fangio's defense isn't exactly a walk in the park to comprehend, and Smith's right in the middle of it. We've seen plenty of flashes where this guy makes a play in the open field, and you wonder how the hell he breaks down so well, and he's learning from some of the best in the business, especially Danny Trevathan. I mean, this dude was nominated for Rookie of the Week this past week. He had his second performance of at least 12 tackles in four games. I think Gandhi is being a bit of a Gondiva on this one. Smith's only 21 years old. At 21, I was in remedial math at Clarion University, and the only in-depth thinking I had to do was figuring out how many guys had to pitch in to buy a case of Keystone Light on Friday, but I digress. Let's cut this kid a break. In the middle of the best defense in the league, he's holding his own in his rookie year. He's going to keep growing into his role better and better every week. I think there should be nothing but excitement about Roquan Smith at this point.
Gone Diva, you have given me and so many in the barroom such a gift. Thank you for that, John.
No problem.
Let's move on to question number five. Your pep talks are becoming much talked about, and deservedly so. After last week's trouncing of the Bills, we don't think anyone on the team needs a good talking to, at least not nearly as much as the Soldier Field crowd, which has become listless and in need of an energy drink. Well, you, my friend, are a walking, talking energy drink, so I want you to give these Soldier Field fans a talking to. The clock is off, and the field is yours.
Hey, you bunch of silent Sallys that spent $250 on a single ticket. What the hell are you even doing here if you're not going to cheer? My basement that consists of just me on game day gets louder than you bums. Are you really happier when this team is bad? Would you rather watch your team get trounced so you don't have to stand up and make any noise? Now, I know there are a lot of Bears fans that are plenty vocal throughout the game. I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to the rest of you that think it might be neat to check out a Bears game, and then you sit there for three quarters, your head buried in your phone, wondering which Snapchat filter you have to use to make Soldier Field look the prettiest. Now, listen, Chicago has been yearning for meaningful football for a long time, and when it's finally presented to us, that field should sound like a concert consisting of Metallica opening for Slayer, who goes on right before Slipknot, before Celine Dion brings the house down. That's what I want to hear. A mixture of Enter Sandman and My Heart Will Go On. Make every opponent know that Chicago is a real home field advantage. Get loud. This team can make the playoffs, for God's sakes. Why aren't you hyped? Why aren't you excited? For the love of God, get on my level. Let's go, baby. And before I just lose my mind. I'm going to give you my prediction. I think that the Lions are a team looking for a reason to give up. They got rid of their best receiver. The system's trending down for them. They're on the road in hopefully a hostile environment. And the Bears are going to be able to get out to a 14-0 lead. If they're able to do that, I really do see this being able to become a blowout. If they don't do that, they're going to have one of those pain-in-the-ass nail biters that's going to be closer than it should be. That being said, I think the Bears get it done riding last week's momentum, not getting overconfident like some think they might. I think the Bears win this game 30-13. I think they have a good outing against the Lions at home. Now remember, this episode of Buffon 55 will be on your podcast stream first thing Thursday morning. Make sure you share it with your friends and give us a review on any of the delivery systems you get your podcast from. We are on all of them: iTunes, Podbean, Spotify, Google Play, Stitcher, Yahoo Messenger, Lightbright, you name it. All you have to do is search for Bears Barroom Radio Network, and we're going to pop up. Bears, go ahead and pop that swag shop.
So we have brand new designs coming to our swag shop that you are not going to want to miss in the next week or so. We are getting ready for a big Thanksgiving week Black Friday sale, and details about that will be coming soon. While you're waiting for that, check out bearsbarroom.com tomorrow morning. There are several new articles by our talented writers.
All right, and make sure you join us back here on MixLR tomorrow night, 8 p.m. Central Time for Trey Busy's Let's Talk It Out, the Barroom's public service show. Please, if you haven't listened to this show yet, check it out. It's a great one. And on Friday, the Mike North Advantage at 9 a.m. Central Time. Can't make it? Well, then catch the podcast version. Bears Girl, we made it through another one. How are you holding up?
I am ready for this game on Sunday.
Oh, man, I am too. Let's hope we get back into this division. We're 0-1 in the division. We got to start making hay in the division. I'm looking forward to it. So hopefully we come back with some good graces next week. Same time, same place. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. Bear down.